All right, thank you for that. Special. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 2, please. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, I pray now tonight that you would bless the preaching of your word, and we know that it will be nothing without your help. And so, Lord, we covet your help and your guidance through everything that is said. We pray it should be with Pastor Merrick and Miss Eileen, and pray that they and the others who are traveling with them are having a good time. I pray that you'd be with Brother and Mrs. Burr, and we certainly are sorry to hear about the loss of his mom, and so I just pray that you would be with them in a special way this evening as they go through the all the things that they have to go through, the sorrow and the grief, and just pray that you would comfort and strengthen them with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk tonight, just for a few minutes that we have together this evening, about just a life and that we have to live. And it talks about here in Paul talking in Galatians about life and living the life that we now live. Of course, we know that we live it by the faith of the Son of God. We know that life came from God. God is the author and the giver of life, and God has given us life that we might live it for him is what his goal is and what his purpose is, that whatever time that he gives us here on this earth to be a witness for him and to live a life that's acceptable and pleasing to him once that we've been saved. And to live life, we all have certain routines and things that we go through every day, and things in just the physical realm. We have chores to do of the mornings. I get up every morning and go out and feed the chickens and feed the cows and feed my dog. I do have some cats, but I really don't feed the cats. I feed the dog, and the cats just have to eat the dog food if they want anything. Actually, I'm doing a scientific experiment. I'm trying to see if I can get dogs to bark and chase cars. And so if they eat this dog food, maybe. I don't know whether it's going to work or not. But if I would say, Brother Kirby, just you want to know something about cats and things. And if I was doing it, because sometimes you don't have time to do everything. So always leave your cats, feed them last. In case you run out of time, just skip them, you know, for that time. Okay, so much for that. So Brother Kirby wanted to know something about cats, so I needed, I wanted to get that in there before I get into the message. But we do have a routine and of life. We, as you get older especially, at least I do anyway, I've got three little pill cups that I put out on the counter every morning, and I put certain pills in one for breakfast, certain pills, one for dinner, certain pills in one for supper, and one for bedtime. And so you have to go through that routine. It's kind of important, you know, that you do that. Obviously, if you don't do your routine for your animals, you don't feed them, they die. If you don't take your pills, you die. So it's important to have have the right routine and to stick with that routine to help us in the physical things of life. We some people do exercises, some people do different things to try to stay healthy in the way that they eat, and the purpose for that is trying to stay physically healthy. We all know that that these kind of things, life is not going to go on forever, and the things that that may make us healthy today, sooner or later our body kind of starts slowing down and fizzling out just a little bit. But when it comes to spiritual stamina and spiritual strength, it really doesn't have to fade away, even though we get older. You know, physically we may not be able to go like we did, but spiritually we should still, I think we should just be strong spiritually right up to the end of our life and time we go to be with the Lord, even though we may not physically be able to do all the things we'd like to do. And so I want to just take four brief points tonight of kind of a routine, I think, that would be good for us to have in our life to help us to have the kind of spiritual life that God wants us to have for the duration of our life. And I've got a little, for each one of these points, I've got a little, a life example. You know, Jesus often used examples to try to get across when he was telling a truth. Sometimes he would use a story or an example to help so that people would understand the truth, but also to help them to maybe hopefully remember the truth. So sometimes a truth, you forget the truth, but when you remember the story that went along with the truth, it jogs your memory and helps bring back what the Lord wants us to remember. And so let's get started in with this. And so Proverbs or Psalm, David said that he had that daily he would do his vows. In other words, he had certain things that he would go through, a certain routine that he would go through each day that would help him and strengthen him and sustain him and cause him to do what God wanted him to do for that day. And so we're going to look at these four things. We're going to talk about living our life, about keeping it clean, keeping it fresh, keeping it straight, and keeping it useful. And so we're going to take a little time with that and a little story to go along with each one of these. Hopefully will help us to remember these things. The first thing is just keeping our life clean. And the story I want to put with that is just that I read about was just having a clean kitchen. Everybody likes to have a clean kitchen, right? Everybody here has got a clean kitchen, right? And so you keep your kitchen really clean, don't you? And but the mother had some little children, so she every night after supper, you know, she'd always clean the table off, put all the food away, and clean the table off, clean all the dishes would be washed, and put dried and put away before bedtime. And so her little daughter asked her, she said, "Mom, how come you always do that? How come you always get the kitchen clean every night before you go to bed? What's the deal? Why don't you just, you know, I know sometimes you're tired, sometimes we're kind of late. Why don't we just leave it till the next day? You know, we could wash the dishes tomorrow. It's never as much fun to wash them tomorrow because they get, well, you got dishwashers now, I guess, but if you have to wash them by hand, the next day is not as good. It's not as easy, and it's nasty, you know. But anyway, so Mom says, "Honey," If we do get the kitchen clean before we go to bed at night, it says mommy sleeps a lot better if it's clean before bedtime. And of course, the reason being that says I don't have to. She said I don't have to worry. Wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Oh no, I got to do them dishes." As soon as I get up, I got to clean the kitchen up because it's all clean. I don't have to. It doesn't keep me awake at night worrying about trying to get up to have to clean the kitchen. You know. I think the application there in our life, of course, is the spiritual cleaning, keeping our heart clean and keeping our life clean before we go to bed at night. We all know that verse in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that tells us that if we'll confess our sin, God will forgive us of our sin and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a personal thing. I can't confess your sin for you. You can't confess mine for me. We all have to take that personally. If I will confess my sin, it's me. And then when I do that, God says that he will do the cleansing. He will forgive us and he will forgive me when I confess. And I think that, we're much better prepared for the next day, because when we open our eyes in the morning, we're in fellowship with the Lord just automatically because we went to bed with our heart clean or our kitchen clean, so to speak. We went to bed. Everything was, as far as we know, is right between us and the Lord. So as soon as we wake up, we don't have to, you don't have to worry about any dirty dishes being taken care of. We don't have to be worried about cleaning up anything because everything's clean, at least to start out with. It may get dirty during the day, just like it always does. You know, you always got dirty dishes every day, don't you, at the end of the day. And so we have to go through this process of constantly going through this cleansing thing. Not that God wants us to sin, but he knows that we will, and we know that we will, and we know that we do. And so the mother was trying to point out to her little daughter there that you can wake up in the morning happy and smiling and refreshed if you don't have them dirty dishes in the kitchen sink as soon as you get up, but you're starting to think about it. You got to take care of them before you can even get breakfast. And I think when it comes spiritually, don't you think it makes a difference when you go to bed at night knowing that everything's right between you and the Lord? And know that when you wake up in the morning, there's no burden there. There's nothing between you and the Lord. You're in fellowship at least at that point when you first wake up until you mess up, you know, which sometimes is not too long. But at least you're starting out on the day everything is clean. You don't have that spiritually anyway. You don't have that restless sleep. A guilty conscience sometimes keeps us from sleeping quite as good. Now, I realize that we don't always sleep good because of physical things, and that's not necessary. You know, it's not because we've sinned, but obviously we have some aches and pains, some of us, sometimes when we go to bed at night, and sometimes it's all through the night, and every time you wake up, it's there and reminds you that of the flesh that is there. But that's different. I'm talking about being able to sleep spiritually anyway. My heart is right with God. I'm at peace with God. And in spite of the physical pains, I can still sleep peacefully. And I'm not fretting and stewing about that something that I have done and haven't confessed. And I don't have a spiritual hangover in the morning when I go to bed every night with my heart clean. Look in Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When I go to bed each night with my heart clean, in other words, the kitchen's clean, so to speak, I can wake up the next morning, as we said, not with no guilt. I can wake up and say this, at least at that point, and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I can rejoice and be glad in it, because at this point, everything's right between me and the Lord. And so the day always looks better when that happens. The word rejoice there in Psalm, in that chapter we just read, the word rejoice means to spin around with joy. It means to, So Brother Hubbard, when you get up in the morning, Brother Hubbard probably does it. He jumps up and probably just spins around. He's so happy, you know, don't you? Yeah. And but the idea is that we wake up, we wake up with joy in our heart because of we're right with the Lord, and we may not necessarily spin around, but you know what? You see what I'm saying? That we wake up with a smile on our face and some happiness and joy in our heart. The word glad there is, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The word glad just means to brighten up or to be merry. And when you go to bed with your heart clean, your kitchen clean, nobody's going to say you got up on the wrong side of the bed. We all know what that means, doesn't it? I mean, you get up grumpy and grouchy. But when you got your heart clean, you go to bed with your heart clean. What is there to be grouchy about? You know, what is to be grumpy about when your heart is right with the Lord? That would be that'd be a good way to start every day out for all of us, wouldn't it? To start out in the joy of the Lord. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Look, there's another verse there. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart is like a spiritual vitamin, I guess, if you want to call it that. It's something that that helps us feel better. It gives us some energy. It gives us some vitality. It gives us a whole different attitude and outlook on life. And so when I go to bed with a clean heart, I will wake up with one. it'll still be, you know, because obviously in the night I'm not awake, so I can't get in too much trouble because I'm sleeping, you know. And so when I wake up in the morning, I go to bed. I got a clean heart. I wake up in the morning. My heart's still clean. And that certainly gives us some joy and happiness, and it ought to make it a little more pleasant atmosphere with the rest of the family. Whenever everybody's up and getting around, if everybody goes to bed with a clean heart, everybody gets up with a clean heart, it's got to be different than if everybody wakes up with a unclean heart, because then everybody's, you know, got problems and that they're having to deal with. And so a merry heart, and that happens. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, when Nehemiah was talking there, he says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And so one reason we lack strength, one reason we don't have the merry heart is because we don't have the joy of the Lord. And when we don't have that clean heart, when we go to bed each night, it's going to affect our joy the next morning and the next day and maybe the rest of our life. It is possible to have a peaceful sleep. In spite of the physical things, but at least spiritually, even though there may be some physical things that keep us from physically sleeping, spiritually, we're sleeping good spiritually. At least we don't have that. We're not sleeping with a guilty conscience or a soiled conscience. We can wake up with a joyful heart, in spite of the physical things that may be going on in our life. We can wake up and have spiritual strength for the day because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so if I got a clean heart when I go to bed, that's going to mean that there's going to be merriment there. There's going to be that joy in the morning. And that joy is going to, there's strength that comes with that with the joy of the Lord. And it helps me to be stronger. It helps me be able to face the circumstances and the realities that I'm going to be facing that day. It happens. This happens. What we're just talking about happens. Remember, it's because you have a clean kitchen. So now, hopefully, that'll help you remember having a clean heart and a clean kitchen kind of go together. The second thing, not only is it important to to go to bed and have with a clean heart, but the second thing is to keeping our life fresh, keeping our life clean by going. Keeping it clean every night, at least starting out that way the next morning with a clean heart. But a little girl was making, or her mother was making a cake. As the little girl was watching her mom make this cake, she said, "Mom, the cake would look more like the one in the magazine if there was a piece gone." if it had a piece cut out of it. And I think the Christian life is somewhat that way. Is our life will look more like the picture that God portrays in His Word if we are giving ourselves away. In other words, we don't just make a cake and then just keep it all to ourselves. You know, we cut a slice out and we give a slice here and then we give a slice there and then we give a slice here and we give a slice there until, time of the day's over, the cake's all gone. We've used it up. And of course, the reason for that is what happens if you keep a cake too long? Well, it gets stale. It gets hard. It gets dried out. And you throw it out the back door and the dog won't even eat it. It gets that bad. And so it just ends up getting thrown away. You just have to end up throwing it away because you didn't use it. You didn't give it away. But the sooner that we use the cake up, the sooner mom's going to make another one. And then you'll have another fresh one. And then you give that away. And then Mom makes another cake, and you got another. It stays fresh all the time if you give it away and you eat it up and use it up. The sooner you do that, the cake's not wasted. And I think life sometimes our life gets a little stale, and gets a little hard and crusty. And sometimes I think the reason that happens is our life is more centered around ourselves than it is about others. We're trying to keep that cake all for herself, and you can't eat but so much cake. You know, depending on the size of the cake. Now, maybe some of you can eat a whole cake in a day. I don't know. But you probably have a whole bunch of little pill boxes that you're using every morning to take because of it. But I'm just saying that you know, we wouldn't eat a whole cake in a day ourselves. So what's the need of saving it for yourself if it's just going to end up going to waste? You know, and so our life needs to be not centered around ourselves, but it needs to be centered around others. Look in Psalm 92. Psalm chapter 92 and verse 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh just means something that's new. Fresh oil just means new strength. God gives us strength every day. God gives us strength for that day. And then when we use that up, then tomorrow he gives us some more strength for the next day. But I don't think God's strength is something that you save up. In other words, when God gives me strength for the day, then I've got that day to use that strength up. If I don't use it that day, it ends up being wasted. Because God's going to give me more strength for the next day. In other words, God got a certain amount. He gives us exactly what we need for each day for us to use it up. And the way to keep our life fresh and our strength fresh is to use it up every day. You know, use it up in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. We'll turn back there to Psalm. I wanted to see something there. I forgot. In Psalm chapter 92, go back here again. And so we want to keep our life fresh. We want to keep living in a way that God is giving us freshness every day, so that it doesn't become stale and hard and useless or worthless. But in verse 11, notice what happens. In Psalm 92 and verse 10, he says, keep fresh oil. And then in verse 11, he says, mine eyes shall see my desire on mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. One of the things that happens when we have freshness every day, when we have that fresh oil, that fresh strength from God, he says here that you will have victory, as he's talking about having victory over our enemies, you know. And I don't think, I realize in the Bible, oftentimes when David's talking about, he's talking about the Philistines and the, you know, all these ites that he had trouble with all through his career. But I think we can make the application to us today. You know, we do have an enemy. It's not the Philistines are not our enemy today so much. But we do have an enemy. The devil is our enemy. And there's a battle goes on every day, you know, with him. And he doesn't let up on us, or his demons are active all over the world, and they're always giving us a hard time and trying to defeat us every day, trying to rob us of victory. And when we have that fresh oil, and we need fresh oil to be able to have the victory, we need to have fresh strength, and we need to have freshness from God to be able to have the victory over him. And so that's why it's important to use our life every day, so God will give us just exactly what we need the next day to do whatever it is he has for us to do. He says there in verse 12, he says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And so when we have that freshness, when the cake is fresh every day, so to speak, he says we will flourish. And that word just means to bloom. Now, haven't you ever been driving down the road and you look out with all the trees and all of a sudden you see one tree out there that just kind of catches your eye? Because, you know, a dogwood tree or a redwood tree or a tulip tree or something. And, and the reason it catches your eye is because it's just all full of blossoms. And the other trees are not. And your eyes are drawn right to that one. And I think what he's saying is when we keep our life fresh with fresh strength every day, we use our life every day, we use up what God has given us, and then he gives us some freshness the next day, it keeps our tree blooming all the time. And I think we could say that's just a blooming tree is just an example of a visible a testimony for the Lord. It's seen. It shows up among all the other trees because most of the trees are not blooming, you know. And so the trees that are blooming stand out. And because of the strength, because we are living for the Lord every day, we're keeping our life and our relationship with Him like it should, and we have that testimony. Then it says there also that it will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And to grow just means to enlarge, to increase, to become more mature. And so that tree just keeps looking better all the time. It never loses its luster. It never loses its beauty. It's blooming. And the next time you go by, it just even looks a little better. You know, next year you go by that same tree, it looks better than it did the last time. And it just never fades away. And it's because our life is getting strength from God. We're using what He gives us every day and giving it away, so to speak. And then God sends us new strength and just keeps that visible testimony and keeps us growing. And then also there in verse 14, He says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And so it says even when we have that freshness and that fresh oil and that fresh cake, so to speak, that we will be bearing fruit even in old age, just a full and a fruitful life for the Lord. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what Paul said when he came to the end of his life? He told young Timothy, he said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith, and there's laid up for me a crown. And that should be what all of us want to be said of our lives. And it can be. It's not that said of all of us, but it could be. And keeping our kitchen clean, we are keeping our cake fresh, and getting that fresh oil, then we will be able to be still bearing fruit even in old age. The way to stay fresh is just keep giving of yourself. You know what Jesus said in Matthew or Mark 10:43, and He told the disciples, He said, the chiefest of you is the servant. The one who is serving others is the chief person. And He says, that's the way to, if you really, you're not doing it for that, but if you want to be exalted, be a servant. Because then God does the exalting, and He exalts us. So to become stale, if we don't want to become stale, we need to be like that cake that Mom makes, and we just need to give, like our life is a cake, we just need to eat it and get rid of it every day. And so keeping our kitchen clean, keeping our cake fresh, the third thing is just keeping our life straight. There were five little boys that decided one day that they wanted to walk out across the field, and they wanted to see who could, if they could make straight tracks across the field. And so they all five start walking across the field, and when they get across the other side, they look back. One set of tracks was just really crooked. Another set of tracks was just zigzagging all over the place, a couple of them. One of them was straight, though. And the other four boys asked the fifth boy, said, well, how'd you do that? You know, said, we've done our best. We was just watching our, you know, looking down at our feet, watching, trying to make sure we put every step right in front of the other one so it'd be straight when we got to the other side of the field. And the other little boy said, well, I said, I wasn't looking at my feet. He said, I picked out a tree over on the other side of the field. I just kept my eyes right on that tree, and I just kept walking until I walked right up to that tree. And the idea is when we look at ourself and keep our eyes on ourself, we're not going to make a straight path. And our path's going to be crooked. So if we want our tracks in the snow to be straight, we're going to have to keep our eyes off of ourself and keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, when you keep your eyes on yourself, you're like the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus talked about. Remember what He called them? He said they were hypocrites because they were pretending, to be something that they were not. And so, but hypocrites leave a crooked path, you know. And it may seem like at the time everything looks pretty good, but when you look back on their life, it's not very straight. It's crooked because they took their eyes off the Lord. And so if we're going to make a straight path, we're going to keep our tracks straight through life. First thing we got to do is look to a tree, and a tree at Calvary where Jesus died for our sins. That's the first tree. And once a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, then it's important that we keep our eyes on the Lord. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily before us, easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at right hand of the throne of God. And so when once a person accepts Christ as our Savior, we accept Christ as our Savior, then it's important that we keep our eyes off of ourselves, which was where they were before we got saved. And once we're saved, then our whole focus is changed. It's different. We're looking and going in a different direction. And so we keep our eyes on Jesus, not on ourselves. Because if we're looking down at ourselves, we're looking down at our own feet and watching our own self and doing what we are doing for ourselves, we're going to end up, when we look back, we're going to see a crooked path. But we'll keep our eyes and get our eyes right on the Lord and just keep looking towards Him, we will find it. We'll make a straight path. You know, a runner, when a person is running in a race, they don't look down at their feet. They don't look over at the crowd. They just keep their eyes right on the finish line. Because every time they look to the side, it slows them down just a little bit. If they look down, it slows them down a little bit. If they look behind them to see who's right behind them, it'll slow them down a little bit. The fastest way to run the race is to keep your eyes focused right on that finish line. And don't look any other way or think about anything else. Just think about getting to that finish line in one piece. And so look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And so here's what we're talking about, just keeping our eyes on the Lord. That's going to help us to make a straight path. That's going to help our life to be straight. It's going to help us to make those straight paths in the snow. And you know, we are walking as an example. We are walking on a tightrope in the Christian life, and we're walking over the devil's territory. And so it's important. What would somebody tell you if he's walking on a tightrope? Don't look down. You know, don't look down. Look up and keep your eyes straight ahead. And so, don't you think that applies to us in the Christian life? If we're going to make straight tracks in the snow, we've got to keep our eyes focused. We've got to stay focused. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord, because every time we take them off, our path makes a little crook, makes a little detour. We all know the example of a ship that's coming into the dock, or it used to be anyway, when they used the lighthouse. There would be storms. There might be storms. The waves might really be rough. There might be rocks and sandbars all around. But as long as that person driving that ship lined the lights up, he was safe. Because that life would take him right down a channel. It would miss all the rocks, miss all the sandbars, and the waves wouldn't affect him. And in our life, we need to live in such a way that to make our tracks stay straight, we've got to line the lights up. We've got the Lord, we've got the Bible, we've got the Holy Spirit, and when all three of those things are in a straight line before us, and we're coming through the walk of life, and we got all those things lined up, we're okay. The waves ain't gonna destroy us. The rocks, we're not going to get hung up on the sandbars, so to speak. And we don't have anything to be afraid of. You know, I'm sure that those sea captains, when they had done that, they'd been down this harbor maybe hundreds of times. And there have been people on the ship for the first time, and they was all scared because the waves and the lightning and everything. But that captain, he wasn't worried a bit. He'd done that hundreds of times. He knows as long as those lights is lined up, everything's going to be okay. He's safe. And he knew as long as he just kept a straight shot, everything would be right. And so, you know, there's no excuse for us as Christians for our life to end up being shipwrecked. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Well, let's look there. Look there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And so Paul said, look, it's going to take some effort. But he says, if I will follow the Lord the right way and do the right things, he says, I can make them keep them straight tracks and not become a castaway, not be cast off or get banged up or have my ship destroyed upon the rocks. And you know what it means there? You maybe heard this before, but when he says, I keep under my body, the word keep under just means to be hit under the eye. And so Paul is saying, in order to that I not become a castaway, he says, if it's necessary, sometimes I just have to poke myself in the eye, so to speak. I have to give myself a black eye, to keep myself victorious over the fleshly lust. And haven't you ever had that happen in your life when sometimes you know what you need to do? The devil's wanting you to do the wrong thing. The flesh is wanting to do the wrong thing, and that is, yet the Holy Spirit's telling you not to, and the flesh is so strong. You just literally have to poke yourself in the eye to keep yourself from doing it, you know. And it's a lot better to give yourself a black eye than for God to have to do it, because His fist's a lot bigger, you know. And so the best thing is to discipline ourselves, isn't it? And do what is necessary so we can keep that straight on that straight course. If we'll keep our eyes on the Lord, then we can make straight tracks like that little boy did in the snow. And the last thing is that we just need to keep our life, not only to keep it clean and keep it fresh and to keep it straight, but we need to keep it useful. During the Depression, the story was told, I think this was a true story, at least when I read it, it was told that way, that there was a woman named Mrs. Mack, and she taught a Sunday school class of Christian teenage girls. And she sent a box of wilted roses to one of the girls. You know, I mean, the roses in the box, they's all wilted and dried up. And so the girl later on, you know, she thanked Mrs. Mack. She said, well, thanks for the flowers. But and Mrs. Mack told her, said, well, you know, when I cut those flowers, they was fresh. And I kept watering them, and they stayed fresh for X number of days, whatever it was. But then when they started to wilt, I decided I'd just send them to you, because I didn't want them anymore. And the girl said, well, why would you send me those wilted roses? And she says, well, you know, one night, says, my chauffeur and I had took me someplace, and we were sitting in the car, had the window down, I was waiting for something, and said some girls walked by our car, and one of them said something about the meetings that was going on at the church, and said, I overheard one of the girls say, well, you know, someday I plan on becoming a Christian, but you know, right now I'm young and you know, and I'm energetic and I'm pretty and I just want to have a good time right now, but someday I'm going to become a Christian. And the girl, kind of, her face got a little red, says, yeah, that I'm the one that said that, you know. And she said Mrs. Mack told her, he said, well, what you're saying is that while you're young and you're pretty and you're energetic and you think your whole life before you, you're going to live it for yourself. And then when you get older and you start getting some wrinkles and you're not so pretty anymore and your energy level's kind of let down, then you're going to become a Christian and give God the rest of your life, which is probably, you know, not, wouldn't be too long. And she said, that's kind of the, and so she was trying to make a point to this young lady that's what she was given to God. Her attitude was, I'm going to use my life up for myself, and then when it's almost over, I'll give whatever's left to God, which would just pretty much be wilted and not be able to do much for the Lord. That's kind of a waste, isn't it? You remember in Luke chapter 15 and 13, when the prodigal son got his inheritance, and the Bible says he went out and wasted it. There wasn't nothing wrong with the inheritance. The inheritance was okay. It's just the way that he used the inheritance, wasn't it? He wasted it, and he threw it all away. And that's what this lady was trying to point out to this young girl, that she was trying to give God just the wilted roses, just give him the leftovers after she had used up all of the good time of her life, or the good part of her life, so to speak. The flesh says to have a good time, doesn't it? Especially when you're young. The flesh says to, just to live it up, to be popular, to do the things that all other young people are doing, and try to fit in, and enjoy the worldliness that's all around you that other young people are enjoying. But if you do that, what happens is that towards the end of your life, you start looking kind of like wilted roses. You've just been used up, you know, with sin. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness. And so that applies to all of us. It applies to any of us. All of us should flee the things of the flesh, the lustful things that's going to destroy our life. Anytime you plant your roots in the devil's garden, you'll end up wilting, because there's just no good soil in his garden. I mean, it's just full of rocks and debris and sand, and it may look good on top, but when you get down below, there's nothing there to sustain you, and you'll run out. We need to put our roots in the rich, deep, fertile Word of God, and it will sustain us. It will provide everything that we need to be able to live a kind of life that when we come to the end of it, we don't look back on it and say, it looks all wilted. We can go out looking strong and fresh for the Lord. And so go back to Galatians chapter 2. And so we need to live our life. We need to keep a clean kitchen, a fresh cake, straight tracks in the snow, and make sure that we don't let our roses wilt. And if we'll do these things on a regular routine and a regular basis, then certainly we can live a life of faith that's pleasing, is pleasing to God. Galatians 2 and verse 20 again says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, yes, we can live a life that is clean, and we can live a life that is fresh. We can live a life that is straight, and we can live a life that is useful. God has gives us all that we need to be able to do that, and then it's up to us to implement what he's given us. In other words, God has all the tools in our tool chest, but we have to use the tools that he has given us. And if we'll do it and we'll put forth the effort, then I believe we can say at the end of our life, just as the Apostle Paul did, that we've run the race and we've finished the course. And if we've done it in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. I hope that we'll do that. So I don't know whether this message will stick with you or not, but I hope it sticks with us a little bit. And some of these thoughts will help us, that we just get into a routine of, when you start thinking, I say, what do I need to do? Just think about your kitchen. Think about your cake. Think about your tracks in the snow. And think about those roses. And maybe it'll help bring some of these truths back to us so we can practice them in our life.